Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you again for another night of fellowship with our brothers and sisters all across the land, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers tonight, answering our prayers tonight. Thank you for an open heaven. I know we got one. We've got an open heaven straight to the throne. And Father, we praise you. We glorify you for the things that are going to be talked about tonight, that we're led by your spirit, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that daily as we get up and we praise you for giving us a good night's sleep and then asking you to fill us up again with your Holy Spirit to meet the day's needs, Lord, and the circumstances that come up. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for anointing the things that we have to say to people to bring them into the kingdom, Lord, that it be a sown seed in the right place, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight, because I know it's going to be good, because we're going to rely on you, Lord, and we praise you for it. I thank you for my healing that is already manifesting. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for all the rest of the healings and deliverances out there that we've prayed for, that they're already manifested in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for placing in us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And we take that authority, Lord, and command the communications demons to get out of here in the name of Jesus. You will not affect our communications tonight in any form. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, because you get the glory for everything. You're the one that leads us and guides us, shows us, and helps us to overcome the things that have hindered our walk, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Mariana.
My mother called me and asked me if we could pray for my cousin. I haven't spoken to my cousin in about 6-7 years. They live in Michigan. We're not very close. But he was changing a tire and the deck fell out and the whole car fell on him. And then his wife ran out and by God's power was able to lift up the whole car off of him. But now he has his organs were crushed in his lungs and he was in the hospital, but he's refusing treatment. I don't know all the details, but she just asked if everybody could pray for him. His name is Danny. His wife's name is Rachel. Danny, B-A-N-I.
I'm sorry, I interrupt you. Go ahead. What's his name?
His name is Benny.
Benny?
B-A-N-I. Benny.
Okay. Is he a Christian?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to them in like years, so I don't really know.
All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Benny to you. And Father, I don't know why. Other than he's believing for you for his healing, I don't know, but we just command the organs to be healed in Jesus' name. We command every organ in his body to be healed, every muscle to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command every cell in his body to be healed. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for Benny. And I ask and I pray, Father, that if he's not one of yours, that you would, I pray the Lord of Harvest would send somebody around there to talk to him that he would listen to and to bring him into the kingdom and grant repentance to him. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus. And then heal him so he could give you the glory, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. We just believe, Lord, that you're going to do this for Benny and his wife. In Jesus' name, And Benny, you be healed in the name of Jesus. You come up off that bed of affliction right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. It is done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm going to add to that if that's all right. Sorry, Mariana, did you say that a heavy weight was lifted off him?
Yeah, a car. A car fell on him. And
automobile.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, I know what I mean. Thank you. All right. Okay, let me just pray. Lord, I want to concur with Michael's prayer. Something within me, when we were told there that he refused medical treatment, something within me, though I don't know the reasons why, commends him for that. Lord, it is nothing other than the power of you that lifts a car off someone, and I know this happened through people. Lord, these organs, in your name, I command them to, what's the word, inflate, to come back to proper shape. And for the, whatever this is that's caused him to say no to the medical treatment, I call for that to be honored, that the Lord's hand would be shown for no other purpose, Lord, than you get glory and that people know that you are Lord and that people willingly bend their knee to you and come into your kingdom. As far as destruction, any destruction upon Benny, that is null and void. In the Lord's name, amen. I'm out.
Thank you, Lord. We believe it. All right. Anyone else? Who?
I would like to ask prayer for my friend.
Oh. All right, Chanel, go ahead.
He's in Singapore. He took the jab and he was a diabetic. He's got something happened to his eyes and there is some sort of a growth behind his eyes and his retina has been pushed forward as a result of which he's not able to see with one eye. And on checking up, there was also some spotting on the liver of some sort.
Go ahead, Julie.
Sunil, did he have problems with his vision before he took this injection?
No, he didn't.
But because he's got diabetes, I know your sight can be affected among other organs.
And when he's not diabetes. A Christian, but I asked him to, you know, but he's receptive to the gospel. He has called on Jesus for help.
Amen. I'd like to pray.
Yeah, go ahead, Jill.
Father, Sunil, what is his name, your friend?
His name is Sivakumar, but you could call him Eski.
Eski? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Eski. Thank you, Lord, for Sunil's friend. And you see his heart. You see the condition of his life and where he's been, what he understands. And whatever he has maybe heard of Jesus in the past or heard of a God who heals. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you turn this man, Eski, to you, Lord, and that he will call upon your name for salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you'd not take his life, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for this testimony that's going to come forth here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we put our faith together for Eski, Lord, for his total deliverance from whatever poisons have come into his body through this injection. That they are removed and whatever problems that he's having with his vision on the retina, that he's not able to see clearly out of that eye, we command that to be healed. And we command any spotting on his liver to go in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every poison, every work of darkness that has come into his body through these chemicals, these poisons, in Jesus' name, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for doing a quick work here, Lord. You bring someone into his into his life, who will speak the truth to him, who will speak love and grace over him. And he will have ears to see, Lord, by your grace. He will have ears to hear, rather, and eyes to see, Lord, and he will receive all that you have for him. You said just a measure of faith, Lord, this faith the size of a mustard seed. So I pray for that, that you would give him that, Lord, and that ability to call on your name, that you will hear that cry for mercy and forgiveness, Lord. And I just pray the blessings on him, Lord. And I pray that you give Sunil an opportunity to speak to him, Lord, that door would be open to him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I hook my faith up with Julie, and I believe it's done in Jesus' name. And Sunil, thank you, Father. Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
And I just wanted to add, Father, I thank you. I agree with everything that Julie prayed. But Father, I'm also asking. You say we have not because we ask not. You're able to do exceeding and abundantly more than we can ask or think. I command that spirit of diabetes out of him as well, in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, that he's going to come out of this even better than he was before he had this injection. And Father, I am thankful. You are God of such wisdom that's so far beyond what we can understand. And you do all things well, Father, and that all this is going to work together for good. And it's going to be a great testimony, and that Eski's going to be a walking, talking revival, wanting to tell everybody about how Jesus not only healed him, but saved him. I thank you, Lord, that his heart is right. His heart is ripe to come into the kingdom, and that an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him, Father, to really repent and believe. We cast down any and all religious spirits that have had him in bondage, that we just cast all them down in Jesus' name, and that he's going to hear and see and understand clearly the gospel, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is going to bring him into the kingdom through faith in the redeeming blood sacrifice of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. Got an email last night from my younger sister. My older sister's son and his wife had their first baby. They've been trying hard to have a baby. This lady's had 5 miscarriages. She finally brought one to term, and unfortunately, it's got several significant problems. It's got a chin problem, breathing problem. Tongue problem, some cleft palate, you know, inside the mouth somewhere. And baby's really got some issues. And we all need to be praying for little baby Annabelle. And Father, pray you bless Annabelle, heal her up in the name of Jesus, all these things that are wrong. Pray you bless her, have her healing be a testimony and a witness to your power and your love. And I pray you put all the mom and dad and the grandparents and everybody's hearts at rest, because they're mighty wound up and got their feelings hurt about this, and just real concerned and worried and looking to the medical system and talking about surgeries and all this stuff. And Father, I pray you show them that you're bigger than that. You're the answer, not the medical establishment. And Father, pray you bless them all and lead them closer to yourself through healing this baby in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen.
And Barry, this is a newborn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Born okay. Monday night.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, I remember many years ago a young couple that had a baby that was born with a hole in the heart. And you fixed that heart after we prayed for it. You fixed it. We could give that baby back to mom and daddy whole again. In the name of Jesus right now, I believe with Barry, with all my heart, Lord, that you want this baby to be normal. So we command normalcy in this baby. We command every part of her body to be healed in Jesus' name. Every part, supernaturally, Lord, so that mom and dad would know it's not doctors that did it. It was you. And you did it for your glory, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for healing Annabelle. In Jesus' name, I believe it, Lord. I believe that you don't want this baby to come into this world like that, but you want your glory around this baby. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for touching her, Annabelle, right now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving a whole baby to mom and dad. In Jesus' name, Annabelle, you be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That baby's healed. We're going to hear the great testimony from mom and dad in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Yes, we do, Lord. We all believe it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Barry. Amen. Okay, David.
Actually, I have a praise report. I know, and it's just amazing to me because stuff like this never happened to me. Every time I fasted in the past, I couldn't fast past lunchtime. I'd be like, "Oh, I'm hungry," and the thoughts of food attacked me, and I fell for it every time. But it was yesterday. I was fasting, and throughout the day I was getting attacks, and immediately my mind was like, no. And then in Jesus' name, I was binding it all up, I was casting it down, and it was going away, and more attacks came, and the more I fought back. And in Jesus' name, it all went away. And one of the workers was playing music that I didn't like. And I was sitting, I was like, well, in Jesus' name, I command the music to stop playing. the music didn't stop playing, but God shut my ears from it, so I didn't really hear it anymore. And it was amazing. And my wife texts me, she's like, the kids are not being at the best behavior. I was like, more attacks? I was like, well, might as well. I started praying, casting everything out, all these attacks. And next message I get, I was like, the kids calmed down immediately. I was like, well, thank you, Lord. And it was just amazing to experience all of that and just praise God for all of it.
He's a wonderful God.
We've been praying for my sister and her baby, Veronica. She's doing a lot better. She's finally eating better, and her jaundice is almost gone. It's down to very low levels. So she's doing really good, but her pediatrician recommended for my sister to go see a cardiologist because the baby had a heart murmur, and that's very common in babies that are born early. So my sister was like, why is she, you know, she's kind of putting fear in me by making me go visit a cardiologist. But anyways, they still went, and the doctor said that the baby has two holes in her heart, but like it's normal. And he said that, and he said they should close up on their own. And he was really positive about one of the holes in her heart. But then the second one, my sister noticed this like he was hesitant to say that. Like he was trying to be positive, but she noticed this like hesitance. And so it's just kind of making her worried. And I want to cast all that down, that worry and fear in her, because I do believe that the Lord is going to close up those holes and she's going to be perfect and her heart's going to be perfect. I truly believe that. And if someone could pray for her.
Okay. You were cutting out on mine. Help me, Julie.
What was coming to me is to cast down all the word curses that were spoken over her about having holes in her heart. So amen, Lord, we just lift up Veronica to you, this new life you've given. And Lord, you created that young life perfectly in the womb. And yes, she came into this world a little early, but we just break every thought curse, word curse about what has been spoken over her. Having holes in her heart and the fear, we cast down, we break its power off of this family right now in the name of Jesus. This witchcraft, the mind control, the mind manipulation, the curses, the evil talk, the anxiety, and all of these thoughts that the enemy has put there, we command them to be removed in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray you draw this family very close to you, that they will seek you for answers of the truth of divine health and divine healing, and to be able to stand on your promises and speak them, speak the blessing over Veronica. Lord, give them the grace and the ability to do that, Lord, to speak blessings and life and health over Veronica. So we command those holes in her heart to heal up completely. There's not going to be any more murmurs in her heart. There's not going to be any more issues with her growth and development, Father, because you are sovereign over her life, and you brought this miracle into the world the way you did. And we know you're watching over this family and this life, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the good report. And we thank you, Lord, that they're not gonna have to be there. Well, they do what they do, Lord. You know where they are in their faith, but I just pray, Lord, that you give them the faith to believe you and trust you, and not man, not the medical industry, and that they can learn to cast all that stuff down. And I praise you, Father, for their family here in this room, Lord, that will speak love and truth and grace and the gospel to them, Lord, and they'll be able to hear and receive the same blessings, Lord, that we all have in Christ Jesus, Lord, the knowledge of the revelation of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And the power that we've been given, the authority we've been given, and the blessings we have of eternal life in us. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I want to apologize to everybody. I'm on my little laptop, and where I am here, the internet is not that great, but anyway, it's what it is. I'm going to ask you to get close to your mic if you talk, because that way I can hear a little bit better. When you lean back away from it, it's almost impossible for me to hear it. I don't know why, but anyway, I'm just asking. I got Julie here to help me, so we'll see what else. Yeah. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
Hey guys, can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the Lord has been blessing me to really want to, you know, read his word and stay in his word. And I don't really watch a whole bunch of TV anyways, but I've been finding myself just being outside, sitting in my hammock and reading the Bible. And, you know, just so much peace I feel like comes from that. At the same time, though, it's like, that's when I feel like more like the flesh tries to come and rise up again. And anyways, I find myself, it's kind of weird, but I know, like, you know, the Bible talks about evil companionship corrupts good morals. And I find myself talking to old friends that are not good for me, and old work friends that didn't profit me. And, you know, we're all part of like the gossip crew, and I always tried really hard to stay out of that. And anyways, I noticed like my flesh rise back up over me. And I guess I kind of want to pray that God just delivers me from that and that I don't feel a need to. Because I guess I always have this thought of like, well, I can be a, you know, witness and I can show them, you know, what God's done for me through my actions and, you know, produce good fruit. But sometimes I just don't think, I mean, it's like what the word says, like, no, evil companionship corrupts good morals. And I just don't think that they need to be in my life. Because what they produce is not good. So anyways, I want strength to not just bypass everything and be like, oh, it's okay, I can talk to them. Next thing I know, I'm talking to them for like 30 minutes and it's not good. It's about drama that's taking place. And I don't want to get into that. And then I also because the Lord's delivered me from so much and he's given me this, you know, and I know I talk about it a lot, but he's given me this new job so I can stay away from all that and I need to stay away. And then I also too, I found myself I felt like a little bit of bitterness rose up in my heart last night. And that's, and Lord, I thank you for delivering me of that. And Jesus, I rebuke that bitterness in Jesus' name. But anyways, I felt like, because I was talking to my other brother, Nathan, and I was talking to his wife and them on the phone. And I guess, I don't know, they said some things about me, our mom, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way and just made me frustrated, made me mad, because I just felt like me and Isaac believe for mom and we try so hard to have patience for her. And then it's just like, I get so frustrated when I hear opinions about things from people who don't really try as hard as they should for their parent. And I don't know, it messed with me for a long time. And anyways, this morning I talked to my husband about it, and then I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I just shouldn't talk about it. I should just know and pray for them and believe and not worry about it. Know that, you know, we have healing and that God is going to heal our mom. And anyways, if you all could just pray for me, that would be good. So,
okay. That's Lord, we lift up Geneva. We thank you, Father, and all of us. Lord, we thank you for putting us in the rest after we prayed for somebody and not to listen to the garbage that comes out of other people's mouths about what they did or what they didn't do. You know, I do that with my daughter. I get to hear all that stuff, and it works on your faith. But Lord, we want to not listen to anything but something that glorifies you, Lord. And the only thing that glorifies you is answering our prayer. And Father, we just thank you for doing that for Geneva and all of us, Lord, that we not listen to idle gossip. We not listen to any of that, Lord. I know I'm guilty of it, have been in the past, and probably all of us have at some point in time. And Lord, we just thank you for delivering us of that. We don't want to get involved in it. It gets you, it's like Geneva said, it's just drama. That's all it is, just drama. And Father, we thank you for delivering us of that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And all we want to hear is you and you glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we will. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to get into that rest of the things that we've prayed for our family members. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Isaac. Did you want to pray? Or?
No, I was just going to mention something. Actually, I was thinking, now I know I have a testimony. I just couldn't remember what it was. And then when Gina brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it was. So, so Gina was mentioning about mom. And I know mom, and, you know, she kind of bounces around church to church, and she listens to she listens to things she shouldn't. But, you know, something happened pretty awesome, and that I told Geneva, and Geneva said, oh, wait, that's an answered prayer. And I was like, well, cool, good. Because I was talking to mom the other day, and I said, Mom, video. You know, I mean, there's real revelation there, man. There's real truth. And I was talking to her about it, and she was receptive. Well, she said, well, why don't you send me one so I will listen to it? So I told Geneva, I said, Geneva, I said, if you find one, be on the lookout for one that she can accept. It won't be too hard for her. She, you know, something that might be a little easier. Send that to her. And Geneva found one. Anyways, so Mom called me maybe yesterday, and she said, Isaac? And I said, yeah. She said, while I was at Walmart and during the break room, and I played my phone out loud for everybody, and we just sat there and listened to David Ill's teach, and it was pretty good. And I said, no, Mom. I said, it is good. I said, it really is. I said, it's real truth, Mom. It's real truth that you can't find. It's got to be given to you. Anyway, she goes, yeah. And there was another fellow that she works with, that long years ago we used to go to church with. And they were wrapped up into that, what was it, that Kundalini yoga spirit or something like that, Michael? I can't really remember.
Who?
They're wrapped up into that, like, I think I heard David talk about it, that Kundalini
yoga. Oh, Kundalini spirit.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a false revival.
Right. Well, that gentleman was listening to it, and he was actually really liking what David had to say. So just, you know, little nuggets along the way like that. So it's a real blessing. So it's obviously no wonder that Geneva would hear a negative report for her prayer that she's been praying and believing for, and yet we're seeing it manifested. You know, it's just to take away that faith and those what we're seeing. There ain't no doubt here. You know, we're seeing it manifested. But that's what it seems like to me. I was just gonna throw that out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say too. Actually, when Mom, I spoke to her yesterday because I sent her. I went on UBM site and I sent her the one, it just recently popped up, Fear and Anxiety Part 1. And it was kind of perfect for me at the time when I was thinking about all that stuff with my boss telling me to get the COVID, or I need to get the COVID vaccine. And I was like thinking about how, you know, like, dang it, like, what if I lose my job because I'm not getting this? Like, well, Lord, you'll provide, you know, and I know he will, but I'm not going to worry about it right now because I'm going to stay in today. But anyways, I sent that one to Mom. And Mom, she called me later on that day and she told me what Isaac said. Basically, she said, you know, she was like, yeah, Jesse Ruth, she's like, that was really good. She was like, it helped me a lot. And I was like, Mom, I was like, I'm so happy to hear that. I was like, I'm telling you, Mom, I was like, this stuff's the real deal. I was like, it's gonna give you peace. I was like, just listen and receive it. And anyways, so she we had such a good conversation. And we got off the phone. That was it. Usually it's always a battle with her. So like, I was really thankful that it was just a peaceful conversation. So I'm praying, believing, I'm going to keep sending her more. So.
Amen. You go, Mom. You keep on listening to David. You'll come out of that stuff. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay, Greg.
Thank you. Look, this is a testimony. It's not mine. It's something I was listening to my last night, which is a few hours ago. And some of you will know of Craig, well, know of more likely Craig Hill, Family First International. Anyway, I was listening to a CD that I had in my archives. It's called Why Pray. And anyway, basically the gist of it was, that's how God exercises authority on the earth, because he's got to do it through us. But this was the testimony. In a previous existence, he was a pilot that flew on a Learjet for, I'm not sure who he's flying for, but him and his captain, he was a co-pilot, flew a three or four stop run every night, taking US mail up in the Great Lakes area. And one particular night, they left Chicago going to their next stop, and they got a message that fog was rolling in at their next stop and perhaps they should turn back. But anyway, the captain turned to him and said, do you want to spend a spend a day in Chicago? And he said, no, not really. So they hiked it to that next stop. And I forget the name of the city, I'm sorry. And it had fogged out. I mean, they tried to come down and land and they couldn't see lights. And so they then hiked it to the next place and got there. And, you know, because this days their fuel is really low. And got there and it was the same situation. They couldn't, no matter how low they got without bumping the ground, they couldn't see lights or anything. And this was obviously some years ago. So they there was one place left open and they floored the plane, the accelerator, whatever you do on an aircraft, to that place, and they just got in, you know, on the smell of an oily rag. But anyway, and this was the gist of what he said. That's not the testimony itself. But 6 months later, he met the woman who he married in a YWAM conference, I think in Europe somewhere. And this particular group, would get together and pray. And they listened to the Lord. And that's the gist of what the man was saying in this CD is, you know, when you go to pray, ask the Lord what to pray, because it's not us going to him with a shopping list. It's actually vice versa. And he told this story, and the woman who he, you know, was to marry said, oh, we prayed for you. He said, because, you know, anyway, she said, were you with an older man? Yes, he was. You know, were you wearing a blue, jumpsuit sort of thing as your uniform? Yes, they were. Anyway, there was a whole lot of things that when this group was praying this particular night, Someone got that they should, you know, that they should pray for, you know, people on an aircraft. You know, another person got that they were, flying a small but fast aircraft. Another person got that they were, flying US mail. Another person got the blue jumpsuit thing. Another person got the, you know, there's an older and a younger person there, and they pray. I mean, I think there's a lot of things we sometimes pray for. We don't, you know, get the correlation, but in this one, there was a linking up. And anyway, the woman, later that day was walking with one of the associates in the group who'd come out, she described her as spiritual, and both of these people spoke on the CD and said, that praying was important to you. It was something, you know, it relates to you. And she didn't, you know, no one knew at the time that God was going to bring the two of them together. So anyway, I just bring that up because it kind of like really blessed me anyway. And in that vein, if I can just add a prayer for Veronica, and the answer to that question is obviously yes. And this is, okay, Lord, bless you. I really do. And I thank you for the authority that you choose to exercise through us and the way you operate so honorably and righteously in regard to this earth. For this little baby, I'm just going to, Lord, bring the enemy to bear and just remind it that we have prayed for her. Lord, I apologize for the doctors and what they say. They don't know any better. But you do, and you have taught us these things. So we say to the enemy, get off this child. The blessings the Lord have given us are boundless, and we are happy to spread it to those in our circle and our contacts. So get off this child. And Father, please send all the angels necessary and plenty to burn. Well, sorry, I'm sorry, angels, I mentioned that, but plenty to spare, to take down this enemy that would seek to deprive this child of life to the full, because that is not her portion, simply because we have gone to the Father and prayed for her. Bless you, Lord. Amen. That's it. I'm out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Okay. Michael, yeah. I have a testimony and I have a prayer request.
Okay.
We were praying for my daughter Tanya and her husband Bernie about a court case that happened today. And we were praying that the Lord would intervene and he would, that his grace and mercy would be there to speak to the judge and the police. They said that this court case that was, she called them because she was concerned for her husband, for her life, because of the way her husband was acting. And this was over a month ago, I think, or something. I don't know. It was a while back. But the police had said that they were going to be charged for assault, both of them, because she was trying to get him away from her, and he had a hold of her, and he wouldn't let go, and she was trying to get away from him. And in the process, she scratched him. So you know, like I asked, Lord, let your grace and mercy, you know, work on the judge and the police. And the Lord did, because they already had figured they would have a fine for both of them. And when she got back from the court and everything, I found out that they didn't charge her anything. They let it pass. They said every time the police are called for any kind of activity like that, they usually charge whatever's going on. They'll charge them so much money. It was like, I think it was over $200, or I don't know if it was for each one or just total. But and the police, he vouched. He vouched for them. He said, well, that he said something about they, I know they really care for each other. But it was kind of neat, you know, that the Lord just worked it out. He spoke to them. We asked that he would speak to them and drop the charges and everything. The judge said, well, if as long as we'll drop the charges, we'll let it pass, as long as we don't see you back in here. So that was a blessing. One place where I would like to see Bernie go is, Tanya's been going to this church gatherings, and she has asked some different times to come. And part of the time he thinks that she's out cheating on him, and that's not true. And so she said, well, why don't you come to the meetings I go to? Then you'll know that's not the truth. Nah, you know. But I just pray, Lord, that you would just work on his heart. I bind up all the evil spirits that are trying to hinder him from going to the church meetings. And I pray, Father God, that you bind them and cease, that they cease their activities from stopping him from going. And there's one tomorrow night, and I pray, Father, that he would go. Do you make a way that he would go? Just work mightily on his heart, break up the fallow ground of his heart, and help him to see the truth, that he'd be set free and he would want to be with other believers. He says he's a believer, but Lord, help him to see. He needs to prove it. If he's a believer, bring him to bow his knee to you, Lord, and bring him to that meeting tomorrow. And I just stand on your promises, Lord. You said, your word says that whatever we ask in your name, it shall be given. And this is not a bad thing. He needs you. He needs to be with the people, with your people, Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace and mercy on them. And thank you that you're continuing to give him grace and mercy. And I pray, Father, that as he goes to this meeting, because I'm standing and believing he's going to go to it, as he goes to this meeting, that you will just touch his heart in such a way that he would want to go again, and he would want to be delivered, that he would want to turn his heart over to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We believe. Bring them together in you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? All right. Yeah. Is that? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. Boy, on this little old laptop, everybody's about a postage stamp size. Go ahead.
I got a I got a praise report. I prayed for Kurt and Brooke had tested positive for COVID, and they didn't get too sick or whatever, just like a really bad head cold or whatever. And Kurt, when I talked to him last night, he said that his nose was really like he couldn't breathe out of his nose. And so I prayed for him last night, you know, that he would get up in the morning, feel a lot better, and he would be able to breathe and everything. And so I talked to him tonight, and he said that I said, you sound better today. He says, I feel up. He says, I got up this morning, I could breathe through my nose. I said, well, I was praying for you. So thank you, Lord. And Brooke, her 10 days or whatever is up. So she can end up getting to go with her mom this weekend down to the shore. So, and Kurt will be able to go back to work on Monday. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing it all to pass.
Jesus, yes, me. Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And Lord, you, I just ask you, Lord, to really impress Brooke to read that article that I sent her of things that are going on with women in this crazy COVID shot and everything. And I pray that you give her wisdom, that she only share what's necessary with Megan, my other daughter-in-law that's pregnant, that she just reiterate to not be getting that shot. Because I knew she's going to be pressured, Lord, and she's pregnant. Because I know they're trying to get all the kids back, shot up, get the jab before school and the teachers and everybody in the school system. And Lord, I just pray that you bring that agenda down, that it not be mandatory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. All right. Anyone else? I was over at my granddaughter's yesterday. And some guys, well, she just built a new home. And some guys were putting a fence up out back. And she was telling me that the guy that owns the fence company donates 10% of what he gets off of those fences to the rehab addiction programs in various places. And so I went out there and talked to the men about it, you know, and found out that the guy that owned it is a recovering alcoholic. But he's been off of it for, I think he said, well, he got off of it 5 years ago, but he's had a couple of relapses. But he said this time he's committed, you know, all that. But I come to find out that they're non-denominational, he said. But they're not spirit-filled. And so I told him, I said, look, I've got a book that I don't have with me, but I'm going to have Tiffany bring it to you. Give it to the owner, and tell him it's I'd like for him to read it. And so what I'd like to do is just pray that God would anoint that book, that when Tom Box reads that book, even the first page, it will capture him and run through that book with that would make him on fire for God and want to receive the Holy Spirit, the overcoming power that God gives us to overcome addictions and things like that. Lord, I just ask that in the name of Jesus, that when he opens that Sovereign God book, from the first page, it's going to be like a neon sign to him. And it's just going to excite him of the revelations he's going to get through reading that book. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Not only that it would change Tom, he goes around and preaches at these rehab places too, gives his testimony. And Lord, I ask that it would put in him something he could help these other men with to overcome these addictions. And that'd be the Holy Spirit. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Many people are going to be brought into the kingdom in a mighty way and broken loose from all the bondages that Satan has put on them over these many years in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Tom Box and all the other men and women that he's going to affect and touch in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Whew, praise God. All right, anyone else? Yes, Pat.
Well, you could see me off of that postage stamp, huh?
Yeah, I can see you. Well, you're right next to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to ask for prayer. I woke up this morning as I was
praise God.
I agree 100%. And he had me in, I was reading that chapter 3. I was actually listening to the tape chapter 3 of what for what we were going to talk on tonight, I think. But I got off on Revelation and listening to reading the first three chapters there. And obviously, if you read those, you know, chapter 2 and chapter 3 are full of warnings and direction to the churches, seven churches. And every, at the end of each one, there is he that overcomes, I will give you, I will provide you, I will whatever, all these things. Everything is based upon overcoming. He that has ears to hear, eyes to see, and responds and overcomes, there's promises attached to all. And so I started there and was going to buzz through it. And I just stayed there and was listening and just reading and thinking and about the whole process. And so I have, I was thinking about my, that in the message of a Sunday about the, I think it was the 16-year-old girl that had the dream related to the DNA and the bloodline and all this sort of thing. It was really just kind of hit me because I've been listening to it for the last three or four days. So I would like to ask for a prayer for myself. Number one, that there has been a lot of water under the bridge in the last 40 years in my family relationships. And so I just feel the need to ask God to reset or cleanse or to renew my relationship with him and to fill me with His Spirit, fill me with that, and refresh that first love that I have for Him, and to restart my family relationships, and to make me the proper husband and father that represents His name, and to give me wisdom and wisdom to identify and properly pray and deal with the the results that my lack of leadership, my lack of solid, I won't say forceful, but I will say authoritative stand in the Word, and just my wavering, I'm going to say weakness or an instability of standing on God's Word. And I would just like to ask for prayer to reverse the negative effects that I have created and in my own family, and to bring me to the place of standing in the light of God's Word, but in the truth of the Holy Spirit, and the truth to fill me with His fullness, and to allow it to permeate out through my family relationships and heal and restore those relationships and turn hearts of repentance, open up eyes to a new and real living God, a revival in my family, in my families, my extended family, and all that I can touch. So I'm just asking, Father, that You would heal, that You would heal my relationships and restore the power of Jesus and the power of Your Word. And restore the damage that I have done in my negligence and in my ignorance and in my rebellion and strengthen and heal these relationships. Have mercy, Lord, and heal. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just thank You for Pat the humbling himself to You for his family. Father, I ask that You give him wisdom. And I command that fear of man off of him right now in the name of Jesus, to not want to be able to speak about You, Lord, but to do it in a humble and wise way, just like he prayed, Lord. And I praise You for it, Father, that every time that he's around his family, they hear him say, praise God for that. Thank You, Lord, for that. And all the things that we praise You and glorify You for, Father, that we do it out loud around our family so they'll understand where we stand. Not to throw it in their face, but to let them recognize that You're the Lord of our life. And Father, we thank You for doing that for Pat and all of us, actually. I know I've been the same way as Pat. I've neglected in the past to talk with my family and to share with them the things that you've done. I'm talking about my siblings and that. I've talked to them, but I've talked to them in a not so loving way. And Father, I ask and I pray now that you do this for Pat and anyone else here that wants to renew their relationships with their family. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. And I thank you, Lord, that it's done. I praise you, Father, that it's done. In Jesus' name, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for everybody that wants it. In Jesus' name, give them a boldness to speak what you would have them to speak, Father, in a humble way. And we praise you for doing that for all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. All right, David.
I'd like to, I've never done this, but I'd like to pray for Pat. Lord, you heard his prayer, Father. I lift up my brother in prayer, Brother Pat, Lord. You gave him the wisdom, Lord. I thank you for the wise things he says, Lord. He's a great example to those who listen. Lord, give him the restoration in that family, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit love through him, Lord. Mm-hmm. Give him that anointing of that love, Lord Jesus, so that way they could feel your love through him, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Father. Lord, bless him, Father. Bless him not just in the family, but in the company, Lord. Lord, in the workplace, anywhere he goes, Lord, so everyone around him who talks to him, Lord, feels your love through him. Though many won't like it, Lord, but that's, you told us that that would happen, Lord, but restore his family, Lord. And all anything that was broken, Lord, touch with your mighty healing hand. Set forth your angels to break down any spirits, anything that may come against his family, Lord. Put your shield upon him and his family, Lord, because you gave the father's responsibility to care for the family and pass on the wisdom that you give to the family. And Lord, I believe that it is finished. It is finished because you said it is. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Pat.
Michael, I'd like to pray.
Okay.
In regards to my family, too. My brothers and my sisters, actually, I think it's just the one brother. Well, anyway, put the other brothers in there. I guess it was about last year or maybe a year and a half when that media, mainstream medium had all these lies and stuff. And my youngest sister and I were texting with them. Before that, we were texting really good and things were opening up and they were taking in what we were, you know, bringing forth. And then when the mainstream media came out and this thing about Trump and all, you know, with the voting and everything and all these things that are going on, they started coming against Nancy and myself and saying that we were on the wrong side because we were with Trump and all this, you know, garbage that was not really true what they were saying. But since that time, they said they were not going to have anything to do with us, especially when my one brother, he says he wanted to disown us. And so, Lord, I just pray, Father God, I don't know if any other families went through this at that time, but I pray, Father, for not only my family, but if there's any other families that went through this because of the mainstream media's lies, and they were just listening to the TV and not really seeing what the truth was, just taking that instead, just like this COVID thing, Father, if there's any families that are divided because of this COVID thing, Lord, just I pray that you would just bring some way the restoration to these families as well as my own, that would help our families, that these families, that we would be able to reach them and touch them by your spirit, or send laborers to for them to see the truth, that they'd be set free from the lies of the enemy. Lord, there's so many people that just don't know the truth because they just don't know where to go. So Lord, I just pray that you would help all of our families, especially that listen to those lies in the mainstream media and the COVID. Lord, help them to be set free from these lies. Bind up all the evil spirits that have hindered them from seeing the truth. Lord, we pray that you will open their eyes and grant them repentance. Open their ears, Lord, that they would hear and they would see and they would turn their hearts to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Yes.
For Sue and her family, in Jesus' name. We command that factious spirit out of there in Jesus' name right now. We Amen. Bind you up and cast you out of that family.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Pray for deliverance for not just my family, but other families too. Deliverance and restoration in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
All right, anyone else? Yeah, David.
I just wanted to share something interesting that happened this morning while I was reading the Bible. Any place I flipped the Bible to, it was every single spot was talking about Jesus ascending into heaven. And the last part, the last one I ended on reading was Acts chapter 1. And I'll just read the two verses really quick. I have it pulled up. And it's from chapter 10. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And I was sitting there, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, all these years I heard that Jesus was the one who said, "I'll come back." I was like, I mean, the thought hit me, I was like, these two men that were in white robes, they're angels. They were angels, and I'm like, angels were the one who actually told them that Jesus is going to come back in the same form. And it was interesting. And all day I kept thinking about it. And I was like, how can you read that wrong? I was like, it's impossible. There's no way you could read that wrong because it clearly says it. And I mean, it was just awesome how, because first one I read, like, it was just how God opened up every time he has ascended into heaven. So I was like, something's going to happen soon. In my head, I was like, something's going to happen soon. I was like, because Jesus is coming. I know he is. And what I heard a while back is, before I came to this fellowship, I heard something interesting, and the question was, why were the shepherds the one who heard about Jesus first? I was like, well, that's a good question. I was like, I wonder. And it came to be that the shepherds were the ones who expected Jesus the most. And I was like, well, that's an interesting one. I was like, Lord, I want to be that shepherd that waits for you every day, every hour. And Lord, help me be just like the shepherd. And when Jesus asked Peter, he's like, do you love me? And he said, Jesus, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. And God bless us to be the shepherds he wants us to be and feed the sheep. So he wants us to be the shepherds so we could expect him at any moment. And it was just awesome. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for opening your word. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone have any questions on Oneness Trinity or something else before we get into the rapture resurrection business? I thought David did a good job last week of explaining it. All right. Amen. Great. All right, then. If you were to explain to a pre-tribulation rapture guy in simple terms, how would you do it? What would you use? It's going to be a long night. Oh, my. Well, how many of you have listened to the recordings on Hidden Manna and David's, interpretation of, that's his interpretation, that's what they'd say, you know, of the post-tribulation rapture. But if you listen to it, he's got three, maybe four different ways, probably more than that, of explaining the post-tribulation rapture and when the actual timing of it. Actually, there's probably hundreds in the Word of God that tell us that the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation. And that's what I would like to, you know, reason I asked that is because I've sat down with people before and just explained it similar to what David did, because I learned from him, and explained it to them, showed it to them. They agreed with me. And then the next day, they come back out and say, we just don't believe it. I had one couple that were good friends of mine. And the reason that they didn't believe it is because of what their church believed. So I'm just asking, how would y'all explain that to someone that already believes in the pre-tribulation rapture? Yep, Pat.
Well, I remember when the Lord brought me into the church, and that was seemed to be a big thing. And I remember, I came into the Baptist church and they have a little, you know, a little statement of what their church believes. I don't know, premillennial, all millennial, but you know, they go through a whole little ditty here. One of them is I guess post-tribulation or pre-tribulation rapture. And I know at the time, I didn't, there was, you know, there was arguments or shall we say statements and scriptures that kind of show you both aspects of it, you know. And I just remember at the time that the Lord impressed on me that I was just going to believe. I think what it was is when I started reading Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it hit me and so impressed me at the time that those people, the many of the martyrs, they looked at death with no fear. And I remember reading so many of those testimonies in there, and it just impressed me. And of course, the hidden message behind it, obviously, is these are Christian brothers and sisters were going through, I'm going to say, a very traumatic experience. You know, many of them they died, they were martyrs, but they looked at that, they had the strength of faith and life to walk into that and not be destroyed, not be turned back. And at that time, I just remember thinking, when this whole pre-tribulation, post-tribulation question was there, and then there's people that have mid-tribulation, and I honestly have to say that I kind of said to the Lord, you know, I really don't know, but I'm going to just set it on the shelf, and I'm going to live my life a post-tribulation person, because I know that if I live my life with the expectation that I'm going to face hell on earth one day, and I'm going to need to walk through it, then I'll be prepared in the event that that happens. And if I get pulled out before then, and I don't have to go through the bad stuff, so to speak, then it's so much better. And I kind of took it as a logical approach to it or whatever. But unfortunately, I didn't waste a lot of time thinking through the process. And that's why David's teaching is so fundamental, because he locks right into the days of Noah and the days in Daniel, and lock onto that. And I have to say as well, I still haven't got it. It still hasn't registered to me. I mean, you go through the lunar calendar, this and that, and it's I would have a hard time reciting that as an argument, because David has it so well laid out. So that's one of those things that I kind of have to, you know, take a vacation and put all the rest of this other stuff to the side and just think my way through that process and see it. But it was one of the impressive things that I think that the Lord showed me through that even was that that Noah was given an understanding when that was going to happen. When, in other words, Lord said, I'm going to destroy the earth, and told him to build a boat, and he started to build a boat. And I guess he built it for 100 years or something like that, or whatever. And then there was one day that he came up and said, 6 days, I'm going to, you know, cause a flood to come on the earth. So he was aware of what was coming. Noah was aware of what was coming 6 days in advance, or 7 days, I'm sorry, 7 days in advance. So he knew when tribulation was starting, so to speak. So there's just too many things in the scripture that God, you know, bringing situations into our life to prepare us. He wants us to go, Psalm 23. He wants us to go through that valley of the shadow of death, because that's where the fear gets destroyed. And that's where I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, you know. So I don't know if that says what you're asking for or what there, Michael.
Pat, what I always had trouble with the pre-tribulation rapture was in John chapter 6, where it kept saying at the last day, at the last day, at the last day. And I said, well, how can you take out of here before the tribulation when it's talking about in John chapter 6? But should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. That means raptured out of here on the last day. The last day means the last day, in my opinion, at that time. I thought, well, that's the last day. And the explanations that I got didn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, they just kind of did a little bit of circle reasoning and lost me. And I just dropped it because I didn't know anymore. What opened my mind up to the post-tribulation rapture, of course, was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, starting out in verse 22, when he said, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. And then it says, then cometh the end. I said, bingo. That's it, man. That's it. That sold it for me right there, because he was talking about exactly what, you know, I'd been looking for it. I probably read that thing a number of times and never even dawned on me what God was thinking about until I'd read in David's Hidden Manna. And that's what sealed it for me. And then, of course, all along the way in that particular chapter, chapter 3 in Hidden Manna, he just comes out with more and more and more and more and explains about the last trump, too. I'm going to let Vanita go. Go, Vanita.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I recently went through this with the lady I walk with, and I started out with the Noah. Noah knew 7 days before, and as in the days of Noah, and I walked through that with her, and she's like, okay, I got to study that. I got to think about that. And she went back and looked at it, but she's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. But the next thing I kind of went to was the thing that they really get held back in is they really think that the wrath is the tribulation. And so when you try to show them that the tribulation is for the saints and the wrath is for the unbelievers, it's saved up for them. We're not saved up for wrath. And I put together like a list of scriptures, just going through what David had taught, of all the places where it says we are meant for tribulation and the wrath is on the last day, and then there's the wrath of God, and just put all these scriptures together that show the difference between the saints and the non-saints and how they go into wrath and we don't. And I mean, it was just so clear. It's like what he just taught the other day, and it's just black and white. It's in black and white right there. But I went to that next, and then I went back, then I went to, because then they get stuck on Israel. You know, well, we're not Israel. Israel is, know, they're going to be saved. It's like, no, we are Israel. Read it. And it's right there in black and white. We are the new Jews, you know. If you're circumcised of heart, it says, if you're circumcised of heart. And I read that verse to her, and she's like, I don't know. But I'm like, well, are you circumcised of heart? Well, yeah. Well, it says right there, you are a Jew if you are circumcised of heart. What don't you get in that verse? And it was just, it was interesting because she just couldn't get there, no matter which angle I came at it from, because she's got that religious spirit. And until the Lord opens her eyes and her ears, I don't know.
Here's what I believe, Benita, that scares them. They don't understand the sovereignty of God to take care of them. They think they're just going to be thrown out there and left out there by themselves without any, you know, without any means of living. They don't know faith. They don't know what the definition of faith is. They don't know the sovereignty of God, and on and on and on. The things that we know from learning from David's teaching, they've never heard before, and it scares them. That's good.
They don't understand the anointing that's going to be coming and what power we're going to have, which is so exciting.
That's right. Amen. We're going to be walking, talking Jesus, Lord to God. Amen. Okay, Missy, I think your hand's up. Are you just waving at us?
Both.
Okay.
Another spot that is what you 1 Corinthians 15:52 there, and this here in Matthew 24:29 to me are the two easiest things to show to somebody and explain. And also what you said about the last day, you know. Yeah, it says it like five times in that chapter, I believe it is, in John. In Matthew 24, it says, you know, in 15, the heading on this section says perilous times. And, you know, you read through that and, it's showing all these horrible things and everything that are going to be going on. You know, woe to them who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And unless the days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And it talks about the abomination and desolation. And then it says, in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. He's coming on the clouds. King, you know. Anyway, Lion of Judah, I guess, is what the name of that song is. But anyway, it's like everybody always says, you know, he's coming on the clouds, you know, right? Well, right there it says, and we'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, which is the last. It doesn't say the last there, but that's. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. To me, that is another significant thing, you know. And oh Lord, yesterday, I just gotta share this. At my brother-in-law's funeral, I was sitting beside Merle's sister, who lost her husband. When did he die? Holy cow. He passed away January a year ago. And anyway, I don't even know how the subject came up, but she was talking about, we were talking and she started talking about the rapture and just how, you know, the Lord's going to come and just going to take us up, you know, and before the tribulation. And, you know, it was, you know, I just like sat there and I didn't like say much anything because it was like the Lord was like, now's not the time to say anything, because it was like we're about ready to get things going with the service and all. And it was just like, I could not open my mouth. I just could not, you know.
That's a miracle.
I'm loved. Anyway, but I just, having said that, I want to pray for her. Father, I just ask you to give her that revelation, Lord. Give her the revelation, bring it to her somehow, some way, through someone's mouth, Lord, whether it be me or whoever, Lord. I just ask you to do that, Lord, and for all your elect, Lord, I ask you to open their eyes. And, you know, Lord, I truly believe that here soon that many of your people are going to realize, you're going to realize, why is all this stuff happening? Why is all that, you know, because she was saying something and I said about we have a great revival coming, and she said about a great falling away. I said, yeah, but there's a great revival coming too. See, that's one thing they always want to talk about is, you know, is a great falling away. And it's, they don't understand the, all that, you know. And Lord, I know there's things coming and people are going to be saying, I'm still here. What's going on? I don't understand. I'm not supposed to be here going through this stuff. Even stuff before the tribulation. Lord, you know what I spoke to her, you know, that there's judgments even coming before the tribulation. And she agreed, yeah, but not as bad as the tribulation. Everybody that's in the tribulation, you know, aren't going to be saved. And I couldn't say anything, Lord. I just didn't, I felt like you said, just be quiet. And I thank you, Lord, for opening your people's eyes, your lives, and showing them the truth, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to, if they don't get it, Lord, that I pray that everyone that's in this deception of pre-trib, Lord, that would have, you will have had someone speak to them and they didn't want to believe it or spoke to them, that they, you just put it in their heart to ask someone, Lord, that you will have the answers to give to them if you don't give them a supernatural revelation yourself, Lord, but that you have people that they can go to and ask and say, what happened? I don't understand. Lord, just like Sandy's dream, Lord, it's not what they thought. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for saving your people from this deception. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, Isaac.
Hey. Yeah. You know, pre-trib, post-trib is a really hard thing to convince people. You know, because for the longest time, I thought pre-tribulation, because, well, that's what the church believes. So that's what I believe. But I was talking to this one gentleman I used to work with. And, you know, he would talk to me a lot about, or asking questions a lot about the Lord. And, you know, and I would, you know, try to listen if I had an answer. But we were pretty good buddies. Anyways, you know, we were talking about you know, the rapture and stuff. I couldn't even honestly tell you how we can come in conversation. So I know a lot of times some people just ain't ready, and you just can't tell them. It's just not the time. But we were talking about it. And something I felt to do was be easy on the guy and be like, you know, and this may not, I'm not saying do this. And I can be corrected for it. That's okay. But I said, hey, you know, tomato, tomato. It's not going to be dependent on your salvation, man, whether you believe pre-trib or post-trib. Because the thing is, either way, we're going through it. We're all going through it. And we talk about it. And, you know, because some of these Christians that I've, known, you know, they're real young in the Word. And the fact that they would even, how to make this make sense, the fact that they would even question something different than the ideology they have would make them feel like they've backslid in their sin. And so, you know, and like a lot of the stuff that I heard from David, you know, and how Israel's a type and a shadow. And, you know, I asked the guy, I said, well, what do you think this means? You know, that which hath been done shall be done. And that which, that which hath been done shall be done. And you get it. I don't have it memorized, forgive me. But, so we talked about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, it sounds like, you know, there's no new thing under the sun. It's history repeats. And I said, yeah, it does. And I said, doesn't it seem like Israel never, and, you know, because I heard David say this, Israel went through tribulation every time. You know, they went through tribulations. And I said, I think the church is going through tribulation. And I said, it's just, you know, if this is type and shadow, because if you can get them to agree with you just on a few points before you hit them hard with it, it might open up their mind. And if you know, I noticed that if you can get them to understand that, hey, you're not sitting here by thinking about it, man. You're not, whether you agree or don't agree. You know, because the thing is, something else is when it does happen and that seed that you planted, that the Lord allowed you to plant, they're going to realize it. And they're like, you know, he did talk about this. These times are upon us. And they're going to be more receptive to what you have to say. So that's something kind of how I've dealt with it when I even could talk about it. But, you know, that's all I was going to say.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. It's to ask questions with you already knowing the answer. It's a good way to do it also. All right, Sunil, go ahead, brother.
Regarding what Missy spoke, Missy pointed out the verses, aren't they all related to the seventh trumpet being sounded?
I heard something about the seven trumpets.
Yeah. So,
Missy, did you hear that? Because he was talking about the verses you were quoting. Did they have to do with the seventh trumpet?
None of those did.
It doesn't say specifically the seventh trumpet, but it says in verse 31, chapter 24 of Matthew, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Mm-hmm. But in verse 29, it says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and blah, 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 blah. The stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken.
So I was wondering if that's related to 1 Thessalonians. I don't know the verse. Where he says the with the shout of the archangel, the Lord will come down, will descend, and we'll be all caught up into the air, right? So
yeah,
that's
happening
at the last trumpet. So I think that's on the seventh trumpet. Mm-hmm. But what happens to the church, the woman delivers the man child, right? And the man child was caught up to heaven. So do you not consider that as rapture or whatever?
Mm-mm. Sunil, I think what you, he was, the man child was caught up to the throne. And I know David has a teaching on that about being caught up to the throne, that that is where he gets the anointing. He gets caught up to the throne there. Have you ever listened to those teachings on hidden manna for the end time?
I have, but I have not been able to create a timeline from that. So I was wondering if somebody who has a, you know, who has in-depth understanding of what he spoke could, you know, help draw out a timeline. We could do it right now.
Oh, wow.
I think it's in the hidden manna.
It is.
It's got graphs in there of that. And actually, the man child gets caught up to the throne three times. Yeah, Pat, do you have something you want to add?
Yeah, I think the being caught up to heaven that is spoken about there in Revelation 12 is a caught up. I believe a caught up of authority or entering into, like you said, the anointing or the unleashing or uniting in presence with the authority that in order to perform that, the work of the man child. But I think generally looking at it from a pre-tribulation, post-tribulation conversation that we were having here. I think does the bringing up or the calling up of that example in Revelation 12, is that the catching up of the man-child, is that mid-tribulation or pre-tribulation? I think maybe that's what Sunil is asking about.
I think it happens both times, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It could be even pre-trib for all I know.
Well,
there's 1,260 days of preaching.
It's spiritually speaking there.
Yeah, but I think what I was trying to clarify in my mind related to that was relating it to Jesus in the ministry. In other words, he started the ministry and then went for 3.5 years, and there was the crucifixion, and then the book of Acts was, I'm going to say, equated to mid-tribulation process. And then, does that make sense? Or
the baptism, the transfiguration, and then when he came back down from the resurrection, what was he doing at that time? He still had a body, didn't he? But he was walking through walls and things like that. Same thing. This is time in the shadow.
How does that equate to the 7 years that's coming up? The 7-year tribulation and then mid-tribulation, something happens. That's when the mark of the beast is instituted, more or less, I believe, in mid-tribulation. But the man child has already been anointed at the beginning. Is that true?
The way yes, you understand? That's one anointing. Yes, one anointing.
Look, it's what's the second?
Well, David explains it like this. It's actually a maturization process for the man child as well. And Jesus went through the same process. Remember the transfiguration where he shone like a bright light all over him. Same thing with Moses when he went up on top of the mountain. Remember that? And he had to put a veil over his face because the brightness of him, hindered it. It, well, trying to think of a word to say it. The people had him make him do that. You had to do that, but that only because of the brightness of God all over him. He had God all in him, all around him. He had 100% of God in him. And then Jesus, the last 3.5 years is going to be the third part of it, which is, and I could be mistaken the time on that, but I think it's right. I think it's the last 3.5 years he's going to be matured enough to that he'll have a glorified body, similar to what Jesus did. This way I've heard David talk about it before.
So what about the bride? The bride is equated to the 12 disciples, I'm assuming, correct? In the Gospels?
Well, the bride is the mature church that's already gone through the wilderness before tribulation.
And then after Jesus is resurrected and is lifted off or leaves and institute and the
remember what happened? Holy Spirit, Pentecost, they get anointed as well. The bride gets anointed as well. And there's going to be people, even David talks about it as a type and a shadow. There's going to be, even after the tribulation starts, there's going to be a second round of man childs coming out. Y'all ever heard him? Y'all have heard him teach that, haven't you? Yeah. There'll be another round of man-childs come out of the bride primarily. Most, that's where he comes out of, just the bride, the second round. So it's going to be interesting. You're going to be sent out two by two.
So where is this the church that fled into the wilderness and is being fed during this time?
The church that comes out into the wilderness, that's when the tribulation begins, and The church has to come out from among the apostate leadership and the world and follow the man child out into the wilderness, just like what happened in the Gospels, how Jesus drew them out of the synagogues and out of their temples to listen to him and teach to him. I know David teaches that pretty well, how everything that the Lord showed him, that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in the end times. The first 3.5 years is the gospel message being repeated. And then the book of Acts is the second 3.5 years repeated, but on a bigger scale because it's global. It's all over the world now. It's not just in one little place. I know for me, there are so many things I heard when I first came in to knowledge of there is no pre-tribulation rapture, and Lord, you gotta show me. I didn't know what faith was. I didn't know, because all I'd been taught was this, you know, you see all these bad things happening, and it's like, I didn't have faith. Well, how am I gonna get through the tribulation if I have to go through it? So I asked the Lord to help me, you know, give me understanding about all that, and that's when he did. But there's still so many times I'll go back and I'll listen to stuff, and I am at a different place today than I was 10 years ago when I first heard it. And things still, you know, things start lining up more and more and more, the more understanding you have about one thing, then you get more information in another area, because, you know, as David teaches, the word teaches, it's the sum of thy word is truth, and you have to put everything together, and you can't get everything just from one teaching. You know, you have to, what I do, you know, and I pray this might help you, is I go through the titles of the teachings on the website or on the YouTube channel, and generally the title has a pretty good coverage of what that teaching's about. So you can kind of go by the title of those teachings on those audios, and you're going to get, you know, if you can go by the title and you can search those titles and just say, you know, this sounds like what I want to listen to based on what you're thinking and what you're asking, God will start answering your questions like he did for every one of us, you know, about the timing of things and when does this happen and how does this happen? And because it's hidden, you know, we have to ask the Lord for hidden manna, and he'll reveal it to us and in bits and pieces, you know, and it just puts it all together for you. So you can't really just say this happens here and this happens there, because it's repeating a lot. Anyhow, Sunil, I hope that helps you. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the website. If you just kind of look by the title of things, you can get a lot of answers there. And the Lord will definitely show you and open up things to you. Because I went and listened to the Hidden Manna today about the rapture, that listened to the first two of them. And gosh, they just made so much more sense today to me today than they did before. Just keep listening, keep reading, keep asking.
That's a good idea, because there's so much information in that one book. So much information. Well, okay, I guess we're about out of time here. We can continue on next Tuesday. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm going to let you go. I didn't see your hand up till now.
Yeah, well, I think what's going to happen is the world system is no longer going to be ruling over God's people, but he can't just do that overnight. So when the tribulation starts, you know, there's going to be different people at different levels. So he eventually wants to take it is he wants to take that last thing out too, which will be death there at the very end. And but there's a verse here in Acts 2, 34 and 35 where he tells the Lord saith to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And so this is something the Lord, this is why really the tribulation and the great tribulation is coming, so that he could perfect us to the end. Not saying that we're not supposed to be doing this right now too, just trying to get out of this whole system. And this is how he's training us, I think. That's what I get out of it.
Yeah, you know, the bride job is going to be to help disciple the people coming out of the churches that have been apostate. God's elect are going to be discipled by the bride. And of course, as David teaches, is that the bride is a unique group of people that has already been through the wilderness, has already experienced faith, knows what faith is, and it's not a problem for them to believe God for everything. And we will pass that on to the people coming out of the church, because they know something's up. You know, when all hell breaks loose around them, they know, hey, listen, what they told me, I'm in tribulation right now. Lord of God, I need somebody that knows something about Jesus to tell me. And that's what our job's going to be. Well, all right. That's good.
Well, it's going to get
a little more heated here. Do what, Sunil?
I kind of forgot it right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you so much for your teachings. And Lord, there's a lot of information in that one book. And it would do us all good to go back through this so we can help each other remember the things that you've taught us through David's books and the things that you taught David. And thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, we ask that you be with us and guide us and give us a good night's sleep tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we can come into the knowledge of all that you have available for us. Lord, we thank you when this anointing comes that you just renew our minds to be able to recall all that you've taught us over the years. In the name of Jesus, renew our memory banks. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. Be with us, protect us, keep us, guide us, lead us, and set a watch before our tongue that we don't say nothing that's outside of your realm, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. Man of burgers, man of toast, man of salad, roast, man of southern fried, man of Cajun, man of...
Good night, everyone.